2020 marks a new decade and a new opportunity to understand the changing complexion of the U.S. population in the coming census. On the front lines are America's broadcasters who are licensed to serve the interests of their unique communities. Emerson Coleman, the head programmer for Hearst TV, talks with me in the second part of a two-part interview about developing content for an evolving nation and the important role of broadcasters in the electoral process. I'm Stacey Shulman, and this is In Tune. If you don't know, out there in the listening audience, Emerson, quite a distinguished figure in the television space, and recently, of course, he's working
distinguished
for... Yes,
figure?
You are a distinguished figure.
I don't know.
You'll have to live with that, Emerson.
I think you're being very generous.
I'm not. Because listen, out there, Emerson has not only been leading the programming efforts at Hearst over the last few years, but he has extensive experience with local stations in Baltimore and in Boston, and has been an executive producer of local programming and highly honored programming for a long time, including now as executive producer of Matter of Fact with Soledad O'Brien, which is a weekly political talk show. Talk to us a little bit about that show. Why are you guys doing it?
I love talking about Matter of Fact, and Soledad's doing an extraordinary job and has truly elevated the show. Our timing was great for launching that show because it was at a time when the political narrative was really heating up. This is a half-hour weekly barter show, which in most cases makes no sense. That's not a business to go into. Mm. It's so hard to win there. And you've seen a lot of articles lately, and there have been some out this week, about the lack of weekend shows and how difficult the economics are for those weekend shows. This has been one of those programs that's proven to be an exception to the rule. And I think largely because there was a need for it. I truly think it's a different kind of show. I don't think it's, you know, breaking the mold necessarily, but I think the approach, and again, the timing has been just right. So it is not a, it's not a panel show. It's not a show where we have, three or four or five experts come on and talk about the topic of the day, and then you'll see those same experts next week or the following week. There's a huge amount of field production. Mm-hmm. It's not highbrow, it's really ground level. And we're looking at stories that are untold, stories that go unreported, stories that are overlooked, and stories that will really have impact and matter. We do a lot of explainers because sometimes if you're watching, you know, people will throw out terms that there's an assumption everybody understands exactly what they mean. That's not necessarily the case. Gerrymandering might sound like an everyday, part of some people's vocabulary, but that's not the case for everyone. You have to kind of break it down. And when you break it down, it's actually pretty informative what you might learn. So we define ourselves as conversations as diverse as America. Right now we're in the middle of a vast listening tour. So we've been going to Chicago and Detroit. We're headed to South Carolina. We've been down to the border. We've been to Philadelphia. We've been out to Sacramento in the midst of the fires and so forth. So we are casting the net as wide as possible. Again, one of the things that makes us unique is that when the opportunity is warranted, we get out of Washington. We don't spend nearly as much time in the studio. So I think the show is really distinctive. We have great producers led by Soledad and Talia Price, our executive producer, and Ash Ayers and Rob Pohl and our team there. And if I could pick the job that I wanted to have to start out in television, or as my, as my time advanced in TV, I would pick this job. I'm very jealous of my entire staff down there because they work their tails off, but they have the best time, I think, and they know that they're doing really important work.
You know, I think successful television has a lot to do with both the idea and then the execution, right? I mean, you can have a great idea, but you don't execute right. It well, it doesn't do well. You have great execution, but the content's not there, it doesn't do well. What I love about Matter of Fact and Soledad is that you see the need for this content. You see the need for America to need explanation, to need to be represented in the conversation in a different way, but also for the story to be told by someone who is young and relatable and representative of the changing population.
Right.
And you take that as the content that it is, and you put it in a space in weekend morning TV where it's up against things like Face the Nation and Sunday Morning and Meet the Press, and you have information for the everyman, I feel like. And it's very accessible, and it's not overbearing, and I think it has a lot to do with the show's success.
Thank you for that. We think, you know, part of the population was being left out of the conversation. And that was, you know, some of the thinking that went into the design of the show. You know, we watched some of the other shows that we support, by the way, that we try to, you know, we try to be complimentary to. And a lot of times, matter of fact, airs alongside some of the legacy shows. But, they were having conversations about Latino voters. And no one was talking to Latino voters.
Right.
And they were talking about African-American issues, and they were talking about really important women's issues. And there weren't enough women that were part of that conversation. So that's, you know, those are some of the demographics that we have targeted. We also skew a lot younger, than the legacy shows, which I think you might expect, but we found a really great great lane for ourselves. It's a sizable audience each week, and it's growing, and so it still has tremendous upside. It's hard as a syndicated show because we're in different time periods. It's not as if you can find us at 9 a.m.
Everywhere across the nation
on Sunday morning. So you have to work a little harder, but that means that we work a little harder too, and it's really, I think, made us stronger as a result.
It's also a testament to what I think television, and specifically local television, does best. We know that news is a cornerstone of what we deliver, and it should be because we're closest to the communities. But just as a station group, I think Hearst obviously has a pedigree in news, but you have an amazing commitment to delivering news and to talking to your constituencies in a very unique way. You just announced this Commitment 2020 effort around the political space. It's just a wonderful example of how local broadcasters are making a difference, not trying to make a difference, really making a difference and continuing to do so. And, you know, I'd love to hear your perspectives on how Hearst feels about that as an organization. They're commitment to things like Commitment 2020 and where it lands in sort of the ethos of the company.
Gladly. I'll be the first to tell you that I think our news operations are best in class, led by Barb Michaud and Andrew Vries and their team. But it just underscores, the strength of our station group. And at the core of that strength are these news operations. And I have I've been in those meetings where they have made the decisions that I think, to be fair, some other groups would not make, either because of the expense or the time just the fact that there was an easier decision to make. And we will leave that meeting and come out of the room, and it's been, it's clear to everyone that whenever possible, we're going to do the right thing. There are always some concerns in terms of cost, but the reality is, we will you know, we have a commitment to our viewers. We have a relationship and partnership in these local markets, and we have a leadership position in those markets for a reason. So it gives me a great sense of pride when I leave those meetings and we make an announcement like we did for Commitment 2020, or if we're covering major events, you won't be in one of our markets and miss any of the major events on her stations, because if we'll be the ones covering it. Maybe other people will be there too, but even if they're not, we'll be the ones on top of that. And I've been at the company a number of years. That's always been the position. And I think that's one of the things that distinguishes us. So the news operations are at the center of what we do. And really what I do is, even though I might be acquiring entertainment programming, for the most part, is really try to support those news operations so that we mm-hmm. have really good lead-ins, so that we have hopefully good flow and an audience that has an appetite for other kinds of content, but it's all built around our news operations.
It's been a bit of a while since we've heard a lot of noise about fake news, probably because there have been other things that we've been focusing on as a nation. How did the Hearst organization respond to that? How do they think about that?
I'm not sure if I can speak for the entire organization. but I think largely we've been pretty vocal about that, and saying pretty clearly that in this day and age, when there's so much chatter about fake news, it's more important than ever for us to be clear, for us to provide quality journalism. For us to be accurate. We certainly try to be first. We're not always going to be first, but maybe that's not necessarily the goal, because accuracy is more critical. And, you know, we want to be leaders in all of our market, in the extent that when people are looking for news that they can believe in and news that they trust, they will look to us first. You know, when you look at, you've seen the ratings and the rankings for the content that viewers find most trustworthy. And I think there's a reason that in the midst of all of the chatter about fake news, it's local stations that, give viewers sort of a sense of, a sense of belief that they are getting, that they're getting the true story.
Yeah.
So we want that to be us.
Well, I can tell you that, we put together presentations all the time about the power of news and the power of local news and local broadcasters and what they bring. And there's lots of times in your career when you go out and you show a study and you say, well, this recent study we did shows that, whatever entity I'm representing is on top.
Mm-hmm.
And the beautiful thing about what we're discussing now is that it really doesn't matter which study you look at, whether it's a Pew study or a Roper study or a GFK MRI study, you pick any entity that's done any sort of investigation around what news source people think is the most credible, least biased, responsible, and it always turns up that local television is on top and way ahead of any of the cable entities or other options out there. And there's a reason for that. And I think it's frankly because people in communities know that these organizations are in their communities. They're real people. They're standing on their street corners, and they're covering the events and the issues that are most relevant to them.
100%. We have that connection. I think we've earned that partnership in these communities. We need to keep earning it, of course. But I think that's what separates us from so many other platforms.
I'd say that's a high note to end on. What do you think, Emerson?
Depends on Bill. Bill, what do you think?
I think it's perfect.
Okay. Satisfactory then.
Emerson, I want to thank you for taking the time out. It's got to be the busiest week of the year going into NAPI, and I really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Wonderful time.
This edition of In Tune was produced by Katz Media Group. Thanks for listening. And remember to support local broadcasters, because anyone can make an impression, but influence is earned.